Welcome to Hype episode 16. Joshua, Kyle, and I are here again. Almost had Selena on, and then it was her fault. So don't blame us, please. Anyway, there's been lots of great news stories over the past couple of weeks, and I cannot wait to talk about them, particularly a 50 Shades of Grey update. Now, last time we came to you was 2 weeks ago, a Friday, and the following day, Charlie Hunnam suddenly dropped out of 50 Shades of Grey, the lead role of Christian Grey, and he said that he couldn't, the filming schedule was conflicting with his television schedule. He didn't have enough time to prepare. But behind the scenes reports came out, and we learned that he actually just got cold feet about the project. Which, was anybody surprised by that, first of all?
No. I mean, come on.
I think I was a little surprised that he would take it in the first place, but not surprised that he would end up, you know, leaving because of that reason.
It just must be so embarrassing to get attached to a project and then leave.
Bail, yeah, it seems like it would be.
Well, it's weird because no one is, it's more like prideful for him now. He's like, oh yeah, I ditched that project. Like, I'm not doing it. And like, right. People are like, good for you, man.
You're
like,
right, no it one, kind of is.
No one is like blaming him. Everyone's like, good, I'm glad you left.
Yeah. Yeah, some people on Twitter were just like, thank God there is a God. Like, because, I mean, the chances of that happening were so slim, and then it actually happens. So anyway, now, 2 weeks later, they have found their new Christian Grey in Jamie Dornan.
Who's more gorgeous, I think.
Yeah, I think this guy is a much better choice. There was nothing special about Charlie Hunnam, in my opinion. And there was actually a lot of complaints about Charlie. People just, I don't know what it was. People just didn't like him, but people are connecting much more with Jamie Dornan. He's best known as who on Once Upon a Time? The Huntsman.
The Huntsman, yep.
And was it a big role, Kyle?
It was like a semi-big role. Like,
how many episodes was he on?
He was in a majority of the first season, actually, okay. Until, spoiler, something happened.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, a lot of people know him from there, and, of course, Once Upon a Time fans, when they found out that he was cast just the other day, they were like, no, not our Huntsman.
See, I don't understand that. People are like, oh, no, there goes our Huntsman. And I'm like, well, come on. He's gorgeous. You get to see him on another screen. You get to see him shirtless and almost naked. Like, that's like, woo, we get to see another side of the Huntsman. Not like,
yeah,
a bad thing.
And it's not like he's doing a ton of stuff, you know, so it's I'm sure it's good that he's at least somewhere.
I guess because they really respected the role of Once Upon a Time in Once Upon a Time, and they just have no respect for 50 Shades of Grey, which is understandable. So he got the role, and they were scheduled to begin filming next month, and that looks like that's still the plan. There hasn't been any pushback yet for a release in August 1st, 2014. I'm honestly excited about going, strictly from the perspective of the midnight showings being so much fun, and all the women who are going to be there.
Oh, it's going to be the funnest midnight screening ever. People, when they're screaming, they're going to be screaming because they're like, ah, yay, sex, instead of yay, Harry Potter.
I couldn't help but be freaked out when I saw my mother and sister liked the post on Facebook about it. Just creeped me out a little bit.
That's a little creepy.
The character's not English in the book, right? He's American?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I was just curious because both of these guys are English, right?
Yeah, so the question is, I know Jamie is. I don't know about Charlie.
Charlie is.
So the question is, will he keep the British accent? I think he should.
I think so, too. If he wants whatever his name is, the character, to be sexier than
Christian? Yeah.
Christian Grey, yeah.
That keeps the sex factor. So in other news, Allegiant came out this week. It was the final book in the Divergent trilogy. There's been a lot of controversy. We're not going to spoil it because it's still
good.
Too early. I find
I'm only halfway through.
Okay. I actually haven't finished reading it yet. I was going to speed through it, but then somebody else took the review on Hypeable, so I've just been taking my time. I find that with books, they shouldn't be spoiled for, in my opinion, like a month, because it takes people longer to read books. Whereas with TV shows, I think the spoiler period, probably avoiding spoiler, or you know what I'm trying to say, you shouldn't spoil it for like a week. Whereas with books, it should be a month because it takes people longer.
Yeah, I mean, people have so many other things. They have their TV shows and their work, and then they have like time for books. So it's like,
yeah.
And books more like a leisure, and TV's more like a do it every other night. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And it's just easier to consume because you can just do it in the background and still be caught up.
Yeah.
But anyway, Allegiant leaked. I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
I
but
don't think we did, no.
Okay, it leaked before the book came out, like I think almost a month before the book came out. And there are some big things that take place in Allegiant. So the big spoilers got out, including on Hypeable comments. Kyle, have you been spoiled yet?
No, I have not. I've been avoiding those spoilers like the plague. Like, I know a couple of our staff members have been spoiled.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nope, can't go into those comments.
I usually don't read comments, but somebody on Twitter alerted me asking me to delete a comment, and I read it not thinking it would be such big of a spoiler. I actually,
oh god,
yeah, so I ended up being spoiled.
Sorry, I've been trying to monitor those because I don't, you know, I don't really care about the book, so I've been deleting some of the spoilers.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing that. For some of us, I know one of our other writers got spoiled as well, so that really bumped
her. I started doing it after her.
Oh, okay. So sadly. Yeah, so it is a big plot point, and I haven't thoroughly read all the reviews yet, but some people are very disappointed in how the book ended, and we'll talk about that in the future once everybody has had time
like,
to read it.
Like everyone's like, no matter what, every big author that comes out the last book in the series, someone's going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
and then those people are going to have like for some reason a bigger voice than the people who liked it. Like, I don't know.
I guess
I don't know, it seems like a lot of negative. Like, from I read, you know, a lot of the comments because I didn't care, but there was a lot of negative, you know, stuff. So maybe I don't know. It'll depend on when you guys finish. But
it reminds me of different. Twilight. For Breaking Dawn, there was a ton of backlash.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Mockingjay, the final Hunger Games book, also received backlash. But I think everybody's in agreement that Mockingjay wasn't that great of a finale, especially compared to the first two books.
And yeah, then, Mockingjay was a disappointment compared to the first two.
And then I've read this past week some people didn't like the Harry Potter ending, and I think out of these four, that was definitely the best one. So.
Oh yeah, clearly.
Yeah, I can't. I love the Harry Potter ending, so I can't say that.
The only way the Harry Potter ending could have been better is if Harry died.
Yeah, I actually was expecting him to die. I was disappointed that he didn't.
Same.
I thought that was
you can send the hate mail to Kyle at Hypeable and Andrew at Hypeable.
You can hate the film version of the ending.
yeah, that's arguable. But that ending wasn't... Some people say they screwed up the epilogue, right?
Yeah.
Or just the breaking of the wand.
The breaking of the
wand. Throwing it over
wand.
The bridge.
Was that not in the book? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
He used his wand... The Elder Wand to fix his own wand, and then he like buried it or like hit it.
Puts it back with Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then in the movie, he's just like, "Oh, screw my own wand. I'm just gonna break this."
Snaps it.
Yeah.
So he has no wand.
There should be an alt, like a deleted scene where he throws it off the edge, then realizes what he does, and like then he jumps off the edge to go and grab it.
See, I'm just imagining like, the ending of Titanic, except with Harry Potter. He's just like, "Oh no."
I just wish that everybody would be like, no, as it falls over the side.
Yeah. So we do have a couple articles about Allegiant on Hypeable. First of all, we have a thread where people can discuss all the spoilers to their leisure. That's our What Did You Think article. Now it has, 1,300 comments. I knew it was doing well in SEO, but I didn't realize that so many people had commented. That might
be angry.
That might be our most commented post ever.
And for those of you interested in Book Hype, which talks about, we're going to be talking about Allegiant this Sunday. So it's going to be out this Tuesday. And we actually have Veronica Roth's literary agent on to discuss the book with us.
No way!
Joanna.
That's awesome.
So that's going to be pretty awesome. So if you guys want to listen to that, the episode will be out on Tuesday.
That'll be good because you know she'll defend the book.
Exactly. Yep. And like, I don't know, Mary Mutt was not a big fan. She's like, do we have to like it if her literary agent's on? <I'm> like,
yes. Yes.
I don't think you have to, but I think no. I think she can be Marima can be critical about it, of course.
Yeah. I'm sure the agent be respectfully critical and just like, I disagreed with this, but I still like the book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can like disagree, especially if just the ending you don't like, you know, the book doesn't have to be terrible.
Right.
Exactly.
And then we have a article on why you shouldn't be put off by the Elysian spoilers. So that one is for people who have been spoiled. I guess I should read that one. That one's about why, even if you've been spoiled, you should still read it. Then we have our proper review that was posted on Thursday. And speaking of Divergent, I was able to release the first part of my set report to celebrate the release of the book. So that is up on Hypeable now as well. And we have the first photos of one of the sets. It was an outdoor set of the Abnation Village. And we've seen photos taken from outside the fence, but we were actually allowed to go inside. So we have photos from inside and close-ups of the home. So check those out. It was...
Good. Were those the buildings that she like jumped off of?
No.
No, that was a different set of buildings.
Okay, sorry.
These are just her. These are just the.
It just looked like a similar like place.
Well, there are tall buildings. Is that the one you're talking about in the background?
Yeah, the tall buildings. Yeah.
No, that was just some Chicago skyline that you see there. But in that set report, we also have an interview with Shailene Woodley. So check it out, and I think you'll enjoy it. I was just reading a couple of the comments there. Anyway, moving on to some other news, let's talk some more Harry Potter. Universal finally released the first photos of the real Hogwarts Express that is going to be at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter's new Diagon Alley land. It's going to connect Hogsmeade Village, which already exists, with the new Diagon Alley. And both of these lands are in two separate parks down at Universal, so you will have to take the train to ride between the two, or you can take the pretty long walk, actually, from one park
that walk is
to
ridiculous.
The other. Yeah, because not to mention the two parks are kind of separated in City Walk, so it's a bit of a walk from gate to gate. But also, both of these Harry Potter lands are at the very back of each of the parks. So in order to get to these, you got to take the Hogwarts Express or walk it. Now, they do have two Hogwarts Express trains, so they're both going to leave both stations at the same time to cut down on the lines. But I still have to think that these lines are going to be really long.
Yeah. It's like going to be like wait an hour to ride the Hogwarts Express or just walk there in like 20 minutes.
Right. Josh?
Well, I imagine a lot of people are going to want to ride this. I mean, it looks great. I mean, is this a functioning train? It looks like a functioning train. You know, not just
a
shell.
It is, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a steam train. It could be. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Looking under it, it looks fairly real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure they're making it look as realistic as possible, naturally.
Yeah, they definitely put, like, patina and stuff on the front. It looks really nice.
Mm-hmm. Looks a little weathered.
Yeah.
It's cool. It looks really good.
I'm glad they didn't make it like perfect pristine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was kind of expecting these photos to be more photo op-ish. Like I was expecting trees in the back, maybe Hogwarts Castle in the background. But you just see it actually being lowered onto the tracks and you see Universal's backstage.
Yeah. I think it's neat though, Universal. Because it actually looks like they're making, like it's a real thing. It's not just a shell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I applaud Universal for sharing these photos because you can actually see it from one of the lines at their Halloween Horror Nights, just sitting right there. So they really had to do this unless they wanted crappy phone photos up.
They're really bad at keeping things like hidden from backstage and on stage.
This is hard though. I mean, it's like up, you know,
it's
above
elevated.
Yeah, it's elevated.
Yeah.
I was also concerned that people would be looking at these photos and saying, oh, that's going to be the view while you're taking the train. I'm surprised they didn't really clarify that more. What the rumor is that when you're in the train cars, you won't actually be able to see out real windows. You're going to be looking at digital screens that make it look
That's
like you're
I
going
thought,
through the
yeah.
countryside. So, yeah. So it looks
Disney's
great.
Disney's done that before on something else. I think they do it on their cruise lines. Like you see, instead of
oh,
if
yeah.
you're below water, I think you have a LCD or like a flat screen as your window.
Yeah. Maybe you see like Nemo or something.
Yeah, yeah, they show you like underwater cartoons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is definitely something everybody's going to want to ride once, but the length, at least the first year, I can't imagine this being a short line.
I feel like it's going to be wither down like very, very quickly.
I guess it depends on how many cars there are behind it.
And imagine if one of them breaks down. I
oh,
mean,
God.
It's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be terrible.
If one train breaks down, they're both down because there's only going to be one entrance.
Oh, yeah,
there's
one
only
track.
One train yeah. track? Yeah. Oh, boy.
I just like it, though, because I feel like they're putting a lot of effort into this, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't need to do this. You know what I mean? They didn't need to make a track between these two parks, and people would have still gone. So I think this is kind of extra effort on their part. Because like
it's
you said... It's going to be tough to, at first, it's going to be tough to even get on this thing. So it's worth, you know, it's worth noting that they put all the work into it.
Mm-hmm.
And visitors should note that if they visit during rainy season and there are thunderstorms happening, it's an outdoor attraction. So it will probably be stopped when there's thunder. So,
oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it depends.
I mean, it would make sense. Unless they do it kind of like they treat the monorails and they keep the monorails running. During thunder, but even if there's thunder nearby the monorails stop running at Disney. So,
oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, because you'd be holding on to metal, you know, when you got on,
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Oh, goodness. And we know during the summer at Orlando, it rains like 2 o'clock every day on the dot and thunder.
Yeah.
But the rain isn't necessarily bad as long as it doesn't like have a like really bad thunder.
Yeah, but every time I've been, there's been thunder with that rain. So, I mean,
maybe they figured it out.
Yeah,
they could ground it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't mean to poo-poo this. This is going to be an excellent attraction, and this expansion
is
going to be incredible. So, we're just trying to...
And as excited as we are, it's probably, like, incredible for, you know, younger kids. I think this is going to be an even better attraction for, you know, people, like, in their younger teens and even below that.
So, in some other movie news, Josh, why don't you tell us about the new Captain America Winter Soldier trailer?
Oh, yeah. First Captain America, the Winter Soldier trailer hit, yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Looked awesome. It was their first time we got to see. He's got a new stealth suit, apparently, Captain America does. It's kind of just blue, you know, darker colors than his, you know, red and white and blue suit. Got to see Robert Redford as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is... definitely, you know, a new part of this film. And seems that, let's see, Anthony Mackie he's playing the Falcon, and he's kind of a new character for Marvel. So there's definitely a couple new characters in here, and Scarlett Johansson's going to be reprising her role as Black Widow. So looks good. It looked like a great trailer.
You know, coming from like a non-Marvel fanboy point of view, like I was a little disappointed in the trailer. Not gonna lie. Yeah, because it is... The thing I like about Marvel movies or Marvel movies so far is that they have an element of like realism that's like not real at all, like aliens or like Tony Stark's suit or something. And this just looks very like normal action movie kind of shooting, blowing up stuff. Nothing really like too super powerful.
They said that, well, the new guy, Falcon, he'll be flying. So that's one element that, you know, is a little bit different. But you're right. They said a lot of this is going to be similar to S.H.I.E.L.D., their TV show. So you're probably, you know, right on course about it being a little more realistic than, say, Iron Man or The Avengers.
See, that's what I like about Marvel movies. As, like, just a normal, like, guy who just sees Marvel movies when they're out and isn't, like, well-versed in the mythology at all, I really like the superhero factor. And, like, that's what makes them different to me in my head, is that they're all different. And, like, they're superheroes and they have powers and they can do stuff. So I don't know we'll see this the first week it comes out.
The Winter Soldier is actually the villain in the film, and he's I won't spoil it, but he and Captain America know each other, so they're both, you know, superhero-esque.
Okay.
They're just not flying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but they're definitely superhumans, so I think you're right. It'll be less superhero-esque.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be a lot of action. I think they show a couple, like, where they have three helicarriers from the one from Avengers, and like one crashes into the water. So it looks like it'll be big.
There's a very cool sequence taking place in an elevator. Where Captain America takes out a bunch of people. And that scene, they showed the entire thing at Comic-Con. They don't show it the whole thing here, but very cool action sequence. Pretty incredible how he's able to take them all out.
In like a 10 by 10 space.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame that they spoiled it, actually. I would have loved to have been surprised by that in the trailer,
like,
or in the 12 movie.
Guys.
Yeah. And then, of course, speaking of Marvel, Thor comes out.
Yep, Thor coming out in a couple weeks. November 8th.
See, I'm excited about that one.
Turning back to Harry Potter, Warner Brothers says that J.K. Rowling has no deadline for the script. So, Joe, take your time. For better or for
this
worse.
This is surprising.
Yeah, well, no. Somebody at Warner Brothers said in a recent interview that, you know, she was in control of a $1 billion franchise and they want her to be comfortable with this new project. So they're giving her, not only does she have this, but we also reported a few weeks ago that J.K. Rowling has complete control over the script. She does not have to, or she has to give approval for a new scriptwriter if Warner Brothers decides to go that path. So she has a lot of control here. I have to imagine, though, even though she doesn't have a deadline, one must think that Warner Brothers has said to her, look, we would love to put this into theaters in 2016 or 2017. So, you know, take your time, but hurry up.
There's a timeline. There's just not a deadline.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's no, like,
I think what's interesting about this, though, is that people don't, I don't think people have realized how much, like, how big of a difference this is than when she worked with the Harry Potter films. Like, she was signing off on things, but she is writing everything for this film. You know what I mean? It's totally different than the Potter films. And I don't think a lot of people have realized that yet.
Which kind of worries me, because she hasn't written a movie script before.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that's why they gave her so much time. She's like, oh, don't worry about deadline. Like, we want you to get this perfect. So,
yeah.
Like, do your research. We'll have people help you if you need it. And, like, we'll make sure that the first screenwriting script that you write is awesome, not like a piece of crap.
I have to think she has like a screenwriting assistant who she hired, or Warner Brothers hired for her, because there's just no way. I mean, you have to take screenwriting classes. You need experience in this before.
Yeah, I mean, I took screenwriting classes and they're tough. I mean, it's a it's a very specific type of, you know, writing, and it's just nothing like, you know, nothing like writing a novel at all.
Right.
Nothing like anything I've ever done before. So I have to imagine that no matter how talented she is, there's the basics that you just have to have, you know.
But this isn't the first time that she's been asked to write something for television or movies. Like, she was asked to pen Doctor Who by Russell T. Davies, like, years ago, and she turned it down. So, like, she's had the offer, and I'm sure, like, she's had
maybe
more
she's
offers
aware
than that.
That
so
she's
aware
and stuff.
She, like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she might not be, like, 100% completely new to the entire thing. She'll have a couple of ideas at least to help her get started.
And her and Steve Clovis were pretty close during the Potter years, so I'm sure that he taught her a few things.
Yeah, maybe he's advising.
That would be cool.
And of course, we know David Heyman is producing, so there's another connection that could help her out a little bit.
Yep.
He seemed, when I spoke to him, he seemed to know a lot about it. He was just completely muzzled. So I think this project is pretty far into development script wise, but we do know that she hasn't actually turned in the script yet. So
going back to your interview, it's so funny now knowing that he's, you know, producing it, because you can tell, like, he just wanted to tell you so many things.
Yeah. I almost felt bad putting him on the spot. Like,
no, I think he wanted the way you wrote it. It seemed like he wanted to, like, talk about it. He just knew he couldn't yet because he hadn't been named.
He really did. He's a Harry Potter fan. That's what's so great
he
about
is.
Him.
Yeah, that's what's great about David.
He's a true fan.
You see, it's always amazing when a fan of the fandom gets involved with the work of the fandom. So
it's so rare.
I think you have to be, though, because to do that for so long, I think you'd get sick of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, like, if you, oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, the behind the scenes stuff, you'd always see him so excited about, you know, what they were filming. And even when he was like lesser, like less part of the filming and whatnot, you could tell that the directors always tried to get him into the, you know, into the chair a little bit.
Some more movies, movie news now. Let's talk Mortal of Instruments, City of Ashes. This movie was, it looked like it was in, it wasn't going to be made for a point in time, because the Mortal Instruments City of Bones, which they should have just called the Mortal Instruments. That was one of the marketing problems. Yeah. City of Bones did not do well. Sony.
$80 million worldwide.
Yeah.
On a $60 million budget.
Yeah. Plus another $60 million in marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so City of Ashes was set to start shooting days after City of Bones hit theaters. And then it didn't do well at the box office, and they decided to put it on a delay. But now there's a new report that says City of Ashes will begin filming next year. And there's an interview with Constantin's film, head of film and TV. He says that we are analyzing what we did wrong with the first film, particularly with the positioning and marketing, and what changes we have to make. We are working with a great group of people to reposition the franchise. To me, that just means we're going to do this one for cheaper, so it's a lower risk.
Probably, yeah. I think that, I don't know that changing, you know, your marketing strategy will help. I mean, I don't remember a lot of marketing for this film, but I do remember seeing some. You know, so there was some that was memorable. I'm just concerned that they're going to blow another $40 million or so.
They admit that one of the problems was that they marketed to a younger audience, when a lot of the Mortal Instruments' readers are young adults.
Oh, are they older?
In 20s and their 30s, yeah. And somebody had actually said that to me a few weeks ago, that exact thing. And I was like, I don't know. I think you're just a little delusional about why the movie failed. And then this statement comes out, and it's like the same exact comments. I was like, oh, okay, never mind. Maybe the audience is older.
It would be
insane to do it for the same amount of money, though. So I have to think that the movie production-wise is going to look a little bleh.
Mortal of Instruments didn't do that great at the box office, though, did it?
Right. No.
So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like they're going to do the second one and maybe quit. I just don't have a lot of faith.
It seems like they're forcing
that.
It's like, we want Twilight numbers, but we can't get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll probably give it one more chance, and then if it bombs again, they'll just peace out of it.
I just see this happening with so many of these, you know, YA novels. They make the first one and think that, you know, it's going to be big, and then they don't, you know, they either cut the budget in half or don't make it.
Speaking of sequels that actually shouldn't be made, James Cameron is talking about the new Avatar series. We know he already announced that he is going to be doing 3 sequels.
That's ridiculous. I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah. But in this new interview, he talks about the villain, Stephen Lang. He was in the first Avatar movie, and now he's going to be back for all 3. So people are kind of saying that he's Avatar's Darth Vader.
Well, it's like he died, you know, he was killed by, Neytiri? Yeah, Neytiri in the first one. Spoiler alerts, the film came out in like 2009. But, it's just odd that he would. I feel like he's just wanting to repeat the success. You know what I mean? He doesn't need to do that, but it's curious that he would go back to. You'd think he'd want to go to like a totally different story within the same world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because 3 of these same movies. I mean, this is gonna get. It's gonna be terrible.
I just wonder. Go ahead.
I know that he's wanting to go like to underwater. You know, kind of. Avatar settings. World or whatever, and I mean that sounds okay, I guess, but bringing back like the same villain, because you and I talked about this, I was like, I don't know if he's going to be the villain or just another part of the, you know, people liked him so he wants to include him again.
I'm going to be very interested to see how it does box office wise, because as we all know, Avatar is the highest grossing film of all time for a reason that still It doesn't seem too clear to me.
It boggles my mind. Yeah.
I mean, it's so far ahead of everything else, it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, so the question is, will everybody go see another one? And the sequel's supposed to be out, what, 2016? Yeah.
I feel like people are already sick of it, like, already.
But once number two comes out, then three and four are only a year apart. And
yeah, because they're filming all three at the same time.
Yeah, and he's also got different script writers on each one, so they're all being worked on right now. It was unclear for a while how it was all going to come together, because up until a couple months ago, we didn't know that he had multiple screenwriters and all that. So
I feel like they would have to be amazing, like absolutely astounding, in order for anyone to be like, oh yeah, I could totally do a third one. Like,
I suppose visually they will be.
Do you think there's even a possibility that it'll break the 2.8 billion or whatever that the first one did? I just don't see it. I just can't imagine how it's possible.
I mean, let's see. What year did the first one come out? What was that, 2009?
2009.
So, like, maybe inflation will help it a little bit. Not to mention that everybody will go to see this in 3D theaters, meaning it'll cost more money.
But that's what the first one, that's the reason the first one did so well, was it was the first, you know, basically he restarted 3D, sadly, with this film. And that's why everybody kept going back, was because they'd see it in regular or 2D. And then they'd go back and see it in 3D because everybody's like, oh, you got to see it in 3D, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of one of the reasons that it did so well. So
if he puts it in 3D and in IMAX theaters, that could make a lot of money. I mean, I know ticket prices for 3D IMAX in one theater here are flirting with $20 by 2016. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone have so much faith in a series or in one movie as anyone did in Avatar. Like, Disney is doing an entire Avatar land at Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like, they just released concept art about what it's all going to look like. And I'm like, so there's that. There's three more movies. And I'm like, what on earth made them go, yeah,
and it's
that
not
one
even
movie
a good movie.
Like,
you know what I mean? It's like, it was fun to watch, but it's not like it's a great, like, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I think, was totally different than this. You know, I felt like that's a, you know, something you can get behind, but this is just it looked great on screen, you know what I mean, and people were excited about 3D.
I think James Cameron drugged everyone in Hollywood.
I don't know how he does it.
He's able to pull it off because it's the top grossing film franchise of all the time, film of all time, so of course studios want three more of these.
Yeah, they're never gonna say no to him. I mean, he Titanic's still second, you know. It's incredible how it's like he's got some magic, you know, camera.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Enough about him. We'll talk about him to death in the years ahead. It's already depressing me. A little TV news. This has been a very movie heavy episode. So let's briefly, Showtime renewed Homeland season four and Masters of Sex, which I should star in, for season two. I watch Homeland, and the most recent episode. Oh, okay, that's right. Are you caught up completely?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Because
I won't spoil it, but there's a big twist in the most recent episode
and it is incredible.
Oh, so you liked it, huh?
Oh, I thought it was like a holy shit moment. I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
It almost passed by me at first. I was just so confused by it. I didn't even realize See, I didn't watch it live, so I had heard that whole week, like, oh, or a couple days after it aired, like, oh, there's a big spoiler. So I finally watch it, and like, I was like, wait, this is the big spoiler. This is it. It's cool.
Oh, you didn't think it was big?
Well,
You kind of just rolled with it.
Yeah, it's cool because it turns on its head the whole season so far.
The whole season, basically. Yeah, the whole season we've thought one thing, and it's just like, whoa, you know. And everything that we've even heard from Carrie and Saul, it's like everything's changed, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I probably made a bigger deal out of it than it is. But I just, when I watched it, like you said, I kind of didn't get it for a second. And then I was like, whoa, this is just, you know, totally different than what we've been thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe, like you said, maybe a lot of people just didn't catch on to what was going on.
The show swept at the Emmys last year, so for season one, and then season two was kind of panned because it kind of lost its way, and season three, people haven't really loved it, but now with this twist, things could really get interesting again. So we'll see where it goes. Time will tell. Homeland showrunners seem really confident in what they did, so we'll see.
At least she's out of the hospital. I was getting tired of that quick.
Yeah. Masters of Sex, by the way, it's a pretty good show. On it's only the first season. It stars Michael Sheen. Really, really good, actually.
I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a set in the 50s, I think. And it's about this guy who's a doctor who wants to learn more about sex. So there's lots of sex, if you couldn't figure it out from the title.
Nice.
I'm down.
Oh, and some Sherlock news, actually. Thank you, Kyle, for just putting this in.
No problem.
We found out this week that Sherlock Series 3 has an air date. It's coming back January 19th in the U.S. on PBS. We still don't know the U.K. air date yet.
It's so bizarre that they announced the U.S. air date and not the U.K. air date.
You know, they actually did They did this with Downton Abbey too. PBS announced it that it was coming back before the UK did. I don't know really what's up with that. The BBC, I guess, and ITV just seem a little lost about, or they just like to wait for some reason. They don't like to give people a lot of notice. It really doesn't make sense. But
the fact it's at like 10 p.m. and it's 2 hours long.
Yeah. It's interesting. PBS is pairing it up with Downton Abbey. So Sunday nights we'll have new episodes of Downton Abbey, which comes back January 4th, I think, or January 2nd. And then starting January 19th for 3 weeks, it's going to be Downton and then Sherlock back to back. So that's kind of cool.
I guess they're just trying to double up on the people who watch.
Yeah. Sherlock will have a good lead in from Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. I think that Sherlock is going to premiere in the UK earlier. Otherwise, they would have made an announcement with PBS, I think. It's just, there's no way, I don't think they're going to wait till January. So.
Oh, no, they can't.
And it sucks. No way. It sucks because the Series 2 finale, the big question is, how did Sherlock survive the fall? And obviously he does survive, but the big question is how. So all the Sherlock fans in the U.S. are going to have to watch it online illegally, because otherwise they're just going to get spoiled on Tumblr. That's just how it works.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they haven't matched these dates up yet. I mean, you would think with a popular show like Sherlock that they would just get the stuff together.
Benedict Cumberbatch himself has stepped in and tried to. He's been like, come on, guys, we need to fix this. He's gone to PBS and the BBC, and he's on record saying he's trying to make it happen. And I guess all hope isn't lost yet, but I don't want to wait till January. So,
Speaking of Benedict,
there, like, rumors. Sorry, weren't there rumors that it was going to be premiered in November too?
Yeah, there's been rumors about November, December, and January. So. So we don't know what's going to happen. I need it. I need Benedict in my life.
I was going to say, did we talk about him, his Smaug voice last time from the second Hobbit trailer?
I don't think
remember
we
that?
Did.
That was good. He sounded incredible.
Yeah. He's in a million movies this year. He's in 12 Years a Slave. He was good in that. He was in the WikiLeaks movie, The Fifth Estate. He was good in that. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's just the problem is that nobody cares about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, so nobody saw it. It bombed at the box office.
I didn't even know it came out, so I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I know, I didn't either. I saw one showing at my theater, and I was like, well, it must be an early showing, but it was like leaving theaters already.
It made $5 million in the U.S. on its opening weekend, so not good at all.
That's surprising, because I saw a lot of trailers for it on TV.
They're like really trying to push it, but no one's like,
because I just remember his crazy white hair, and his weird accent.
Yeah. So what was I talking about? Benedict. Oh,
he's in lots of movies.
Yeah. So if Sherlock doesn't come out by the end of this year, at least we'll be able to see him in Smaug, or see him in dragon form in Smaug.
Yeah. And we saw some pictures the other day of him doing mocap for Smaug. He was like slithering on the floor and screaming in a mic.
you were like, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I said he was screaming into a mic. Like,
oh,
he was
Mike.
Being... Oh, I thought you were... I heard like.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was pictures that were released of him with, like, you know, the little dots on his face and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he was, like, crawling on the floor, you know, pretending to be Smog. And and he just looked funny. He was just making weird faces.
Yeah. Those were funny. We didn't do a report on that, but they.
No, I just saw him somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So how about, let's talk about what's coming up now over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a busy fall. We talked about movies that were coming up, but we're getting close to some three major things. First of all, Ender's Game comes out November 1st. Our own Jimmy Bean went to the press junket and spoke to Asa Butterfield. So we have a one-on-one with him. He's the star. He plays Ender himself. So that's very cool. And we had one article, Josh, can you talk about this? His interest in playing Han Solo's son?
Yeah, basically, there's been a lot of rumors that the first Star Wars film will be, or I don't know if it's the first one, but one of the first, you know, couple that they're doing will be about Han Solo's son. And so I think Jimmy asked Asa if he would be interested in playing Han Solo's son. Of course, he said yes, you know, but it would be odd because he's just in a movie with Harrison Ford, who played the original Han Solo. So I think he was just trying to, you know, get some good words in for Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know.
Probably not.
No. And
I think they'll go a little bit older than him. He still looks fairly young.
He does.
But I guess the film doesn't come out for a little while.
He's perfect for the role of Ender, just not...
He can still, like, go through puberty.
Yeah, he just looks very young. I imagine they're going to want to go a little bit older for if they do a young Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy will have more from his Ender's Game interviews coming up in the next week or so. And some good Catching Fire news. This is interesting. They are going to air the final trailer during Game 4 of the World Series this Sunday on Fox.
I feel like those are the two most opposite fans.
I do too. That's what I was going to say.
Well, actually, I think this is a cool idea because they're going for the whole sporting event theme with this trailer, I assume. And they want to reach out to an older audience. They've already got the young adult audience. That's not a problem. Yeah. But The Hunger Games did really well. The first film did really well with older audiences. So they want to reach more older audiences. And I expect this trailer will appeal to males and, you know, young adults and above. Obviously not kids. So I think this is a cool idea. And I'm expecting this trailer to be really badass. And I think it kind of... fits with the theme. I get it. This
if
big
it was like
tournament.
The Super Bowl, I'd be more excited, but it's like, who watches baseball still?
Well,
yeah, but like Andrew has a point. Like they're gonna try to focus on the guys. And so I'm wondering is if they're gonna show anything from the actual like arena footage, because
like
most
Jennifer
of the
Lawrence the whole time.
Yeah, most of the pre-arena stuff is like pretty boring. It's not gonna hook any guy into like any macho. Like baseball watching guy into watching it. So
see, I agree with that, but I don't think they will, because the Hunger Games promotion and with Catching Fire promotion so far, we didn't see a single thing from within the games, except for actually the first Hunger Games teaser trailer. Up. She was running from fire.
Oh yeah, running.
But
from fire.
Other than that, I don't think we saw anything.
Yeah.
Hopefully they show something within the games, because all we've seen really is them rising up around the water, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like right as it starts. Mm-hmm. I don't think, Kyle, that the footage or that those scenes that they've showed so far are boring.
No, definitely not. They're not like,
they're more towards the fans, though. It's like, oh, you remember this from the book. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So we'll have that. I assume that they're going to release it online as soon as it airs on television. So we will be ready and waiting for that trailer to come out. So they even said what inning. They said it airs during the fifth inning. So,
wow.
So
they've really planned this out. I'm
yeah.
Surprised.
So even if you don't watch baseball, you can just be like, oh, I'll watch the fifth inning.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, what would that be? Like an hour and a half into the game? 2 hours into the game?
I have no idea.
Baseball time changes.
It's about halfway through the game, so however long a normal baseball game is, split it in half and watch around then.
Basically, yeah.
We should probably also talk about Doctor Who, The Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary special. That is going to air on TV, but it's going to air live in movie theaters across the U.S. and the U.K., and I'm sure some other theaters around the world as well. But the U.S. locations were just announced, so I think this is... I wish I was a Doctor Who fan, because this sounds like something really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really awesome, especially because IMAX theaters are going to be showing it, too. So.
Yeah, and in 3D.
Yeah.
I like that they do this type of stuff where people can go to a theater and see it together.
With a bunch of other fans.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go anyway. just to join in with
the only non-fan there.
Right. I'll be like, I don't know what this is, but woohoo!
You'll get recognized anyway.
I brought my pen. I'm going to pretend it's a... What's that thing called?
Oh.
What's the wand thing? Screwdriver. Signed screwdriver.
Nice.
So
I was just laughing at us for
he's like
crappy knowledge of
the hell are you guys talking about.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
So it opens in 15 theaters on Saturday, and then it expands to 300 theaters on Monday. But the one on Saturday that airs live the same time it does on television. So
yeah.
Like that's the cool one. The problem is that it's only in select cities, whereas on Monday it airs in many more places. Nonetheless, the Monday screening should be just as fun because, like we just said, it's going to be filled with passionate Doctor Who fans. So,
and I don't think anyone from Who Hype is going to be watching it in a theater because we're probably going to get right on Who Hype afterwards and discuss it.
Oh,
so that's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, go see it Monday then.
Yeah.
Make sure to bring your magic wands.
Yeah, sonic screwdriver. Okay.
I'm going to bring it and see what people say. And then there's actually another big fandom-oriented event. This one is only taking place in New York City, though. It's for Twihards. The Twilight box set finally comes out this November, and they're doing a two-day Twilight Forever event in Manhattan, November 3rd and 4th. And they're going to be doing an all-day screening, a marathon of all the Twilight movies on the 3rd. And what's going to happen is they're going to air back to back, and the tickets already sold out, but Hypeable actually has two tickets to give away if you want to go and you missed your chance. So if you go to Hypeable.com/Twilight, you'll see a story there that says win two tickets to the Twilight Forever Marathon. And, you know, there's only been 110 entries so far, so you have a decent shot at entering to win. I need to promote this more. Anyway, it should be fun for Twilight fans. Get the whole fandom back together. And then on the 4th, they're going to have special events with some stars. Again,
I'm surprised
not this... Kristen Stewart or the other two.
Probably not the big ones.
Yeah.
No. I'm surprised that this fandom is still like it's still they're just still doing stuff. Like Jesus.
Yeah, I think it burned out quickly in my opinion after the final movie came out. But of course there's always those people who will be passionate for a very long time, and there hasn't been a box set released yet. This is coming a year after Breaking Dawn Part 2. So the timing's right, and it'll be up for the holiday season. So I think that does it, except for recommendations. Let's start with Josh. He's got one written down. You're a big fan of pumpkin carving, aren't you?
I have been pretty much my whole life, but I haven't been the last few years. But I there's this website I've always used, and it's called zombiepumpkins.com, that they have a lot of free patterns that you can do, but you can pay like, I think it's like $3 or $5 just to get all like a couple hundred patterns that they have. And you can just print the patterns out and then you just stick them on your pumpkin and then carve them out. But they have a lot of fandom oriented ones, and I was gonna have this up but I forgot. Basically they have like a lot, like some Harry Potter ones, and they're called movie monsters if you go to the site. And they have like Frankenstein and it's a couple of the other ones, like the Joker from Batman or Bane from Batman. And they just have a lot of like, I felt like our audience would get a kick out of using. Like, they have Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean and Voldemort from Harry Potter, and they're just so great. There's this, the guy who runs it, his name's Ryan. He draws all these originally, and they always were perfect, and I've used them for like 7-8 years. If you want to carve some pumpkins in the next week, definitely check out zombiepumpkins.com.
Didn't we do a promotion with him last
year? We did.
Year?
Yeah, I just remembered. Yeah, last year I think we did a promotion.
Well, this year we'll have to do a roundup of good pumpkin carvings again and costumes.
Yep.
Which reminds me, on the site published today, we have a last-minute costume guide for those who may have procrastinated just a little bit. But that's okay. Maybe you have a Halloween party this weekend or next Thursday. Actual Halloween. We have easy costumes based on fandoms, and some of the fandoms, of course, the Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Divergent, Supernatural, Orange is the New Black. They're all surprisingly easy to put together, and we have suggestions on how to make them easy, but on how to also include a tell with your costume so that people know who you are. Because otherwise you risk being too simplistic and thus people don't know who the hell you are supposed to be dressed up as. So you can find that on Hypeable. We'll be featuring
that. What are you
going
to be for Halloween, Andrew?
I'm actually not feeling inspired, so I don't think I'm going to do anything. Though there's a huge Halloween party that takes place here, so I'm just going to go as myself.
Nice.
I'm going to go as myself at bars. How about you guys? Do you have anything?
I'm a big Peter Pan.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, I haven't dressed up in a few years, but maybe I'll get inspired by our article.
I feel like you should be Christian Grey.
That would be good. And then I can drop out like right before the movie starts.
Yeah. You didn't have enough time to prepare your costume.
So I go as myself because I dropped out right before it started.
Yeah. I went as a sailor last year because a few weeks prior, my friend had a party on a boat. He has a lot of money, so he had a party on a boat. And so I just basically recycled that. I just don't like getting dressed up heavily, so that's why the sailor thing worked for me. I bought the sailor hat at Target. I had a blue jacket and button-down that was also blue. And that was it. That was my costume. It was practical, it was affordable, and it didn't require much preparation. So
I did. I think my best one was probably Sweeney Todd a couple years
ago.
Oh,
cool.
Because my family's neighborhood used to have like these where a couple houses would do a big front porch thing where like you would actually do like a play type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we did like a scene from Sweeney Todd. So like my whole family was dressed up as different characters from the film.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I played Sweeney Todd and like ran out and slashed at little kids with razors and stuff like that.
Did you cut people's throats?
I did. I cut. We had like a pump that would shoot blood out of people's necks, like that ran up their shirt. So when I would cut their throat on the chair, it would like shoot blood out towards the audience. Nice. That was probably my best Halloween.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah.
And we won the trophy. There was actually a trophy. Like, I lived in this like ritzy neighborhood, and they'd always do these like crazy huge, Halloween things. So it was fun.
Nice. All right, everybody. Oh, we got so wrapped up. I forgot Kyle and I didn't make our recommendations. My recommendation this week, Monsters University, is coming to Blu-ray this Tuesday. It is Pixar's latest movie. I was a big fan of it in theaters, so I was so excited to get it, and I'm going to have a review up Monday or Tuesday of the bonus features. The reason I recommend it is twofold. First of all, Pixar films are so beautiful, but if you have a Blu-ray player, you got to see it on Blu-ray because the visuals are just stunning. And of course, they get better and better every year, both in theaters and then on DVD Blu-ray, because they just do a better job with the special effects. But the other reason I recommend it is that Pixar, as we now know, is not going to have a new movie next year. So you got to make up for it by enjoying the most recent Pixar movie a couple times to hold you over. And the Monsters University may be the way to go. Or just do a rewatch of all the Pixar movies, which all seem to be great, except for Cars. Skip that one.
And Cars
2.
Yeah.
We also heard this week that Cars 3 is apparently in the works.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Save us!
It's better than Planes 4.
Yeah.
My my friend who works for Pixar marketing told me that one of the only reasons that Cars 3 is being in the works is because it sells so well. It just...
Yeah.
Like, and the kids. Marketing. Yeah.
He's actually... His team is part of the reason that Nuke got canceled, because they couldn't figure out a single thing to sell or market for Newt. Like, they couldn't make a Newt doll. No one's going to be like, oh, I want a Newt doll, yeah.
Mm.
So, like...
Yeah, he was a lizard, really, right? He was...
Yeah. It was like a lizard thing. Yeah.
That's actually one of my problems with this whole Fantastic Beast movie. Like, who wants to get excited about a character named Newt Scamander? Yeah. Like, that's such a lame name.
It really is.
Like, I don't want to be going around being like, yeah, one of my favorite characters is Newt Scamander. Like, that just sounds so nerdy and lame.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as
no.
Yeah, Joe's going to have to create some female character to entice girls to see it and to...
A spin on Salamander? Like the creature?
So. It sounds like it, yeah.
I thought it was Salamander anyway. Like, just misreading
like
it.
Like Newt Salamander?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... But that makes a lot of sense regarding Pixar's Newt. Good Dinosaur. That'll be a big marketing.
Oh, yeah. That's gonna be
all
easy.
Those dinos? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kids love dinosaurs. So what's your rec, Kyle?
My recommendation for the week is actually Maze Runner. I had just got it like maybe a few days ago, and it's like really good. I'm only about halfway through, but it's really a really great book. And the movie comes out in September next year and got pushed back, as we discussed last week. But it's amazing, and it helps that I have Dylan O'Brien in my head as a main character, so everything is just 10 times more fantastic.
That's one of the problems I've had with reading Allegiant. Now I'm reading it and thinking and hearing Shailene Woodley and Theo James in my head.
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad, because I'm reading it too, and I am not imagining them. I'm imagining the original characters, and I'm like, thank God.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It helps that the narrator on the audiobook sounds like nothing like what Theo James would sound like. So
I should get the audiobook.
You should. It's easier because you don't have to forget who's narrating.
Right.
Yeah. Save a male and female narrator.
That's something I'm not loving about Allegiant, actually. I thought I would get used to it, but I'm still kind of having a hard time.
Yeah, every single time Four's perspective comes up, I'm like, shut up, I just want Trace.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, thank you, everybody. It's been another fun episode of Hype. If you visit the article announcing this post, you can sound off with other listeners about what we discussed today. And we will be back in November for episode 17. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Tarkow.
And I'm Josh Neely.
See you next time. Happy Halloween and goodbye.
Bye.